Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with J.P. Finley.
What up, everybody? J.P. Finley is here. Redskins Talk Podcast starting right now. As always, I got my good friend Rich Tandler here. Tandler, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
We got a lot to discuss. Redskins have a big matchup with the Denver Broncos on Sunday. It's weirdly one of these games where there's not a ton of intrigue just because both teams are kind of playing out the string. Skins are 6-8, Broncos are 5-9. It's a little similar to last week with the Cardinals in that Denver has a good defense and a pretty bad offense and
no quarterback.
Possibly terrible quarterback play, but you know, it's still a game and we're going to talk about it. More importantly though, and Tandler, disagree if you do. I don't think you do. It's Kirk Cousins season now, man. Now's the time to talk about Kirk and what happens next and what the Skins should do. And we're going to talk about what happens if Kirk leaves, and we're going to go through some names of folks that may or may not make sense for the Redskins at quarterback. Before Tandler, you and I both agree that the Redskins' number one priority should be getting a long-term deal done with Kirk Cousins, correct?
Yes.
We also, at least I don't expect that to happen, do you?
I probably think there's a better chance than you think there is, but I still think it's certainly well under 50%.
I don't think Kirk wants to sign a long-term deal, frankly. And I think you need both.
You know what? Real quick, I know we can get into this more. I think it depends on what his options are.
And it depends maybe on how they finish the year, too.
Yep.
And how he finishes the year. But regardless, for this exercise, we are assuming Kirk Cousins walks in free agency.
This year.
Frankly, I don't expect that to happen. I think the team would keep him on a tag rather than let him walk.
I don't, but.
You think they'd let him walk without any sort of compensation?
I don't think they'll franchise tag him.
Okay. Regardless, for this exercise, we're going to talk about 8 quarterback options the Redskins might have. Tandler and I are going to grade them 1 to 10 on both how realistic it is and how good of an option it is. 10 being the highest for both. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. You have the list there?
I do.
Okay.
Colt McCoy.
Okay. Colt McCoy, realistically, is a 10 because he's under contract with the team for 2018.
But how realistic is it that they would just go into the season saying he's our starter? I think that's really more, you know, if we're talking about realistic being here, yes, you're right.
I think Colt will be here, certainly.
Yes.
How realistic is it he's the starter? Oh, I mean, this is all hypothetical world where Kirk isn't here, right?
But you don't have to say that anymore.
I think this staff believes in Colt. I think if you have Colt, you have to draft somebody. But I think Colt could absolutely start week one for the Skins.
Number?
7. Maybe a 6. 6.5.
I'd go 5.
I
obviously it depends on other things, like if they draft somebody in the first round. But it would be difficult sell to the fan base, Colt McCoy, week one starting quarterback. Very difficult to push season tickets that way.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so how good do you think Colt could be in the role?
For 4 or 5 games?
Chandler questions his durability.
I do, and with good reason through the
track record.
Yeah. 2014, Gruden wanted to give him the job to finish off the year, and he couldn't make it.
Right. I think Cole could be pretty good. Certainly health questions, and you never know. I think Cole could be a 6-7 quarterback for them. I think he knows this offense inside and out and could run it well. All right, who is our next option on the list?
Tyrod Taylor, former Virginia Tech quarterback Tyrod Taylor.
Yo, you love your Hokies. You start with how realistic is it?
I would give that. I mean, I think it's fairly certain the Bills are going to move on from him. They would owe him a pretty good salary in the $17 million range.
Yeah, none of it's guaranteed, so it's an
right.
Easy. There's no yeah. cap hit.
Exactly. Virtually no cap hit. So I think it'll be a free agent. I think the Redskins signing is probably a 4.
That sounds right. I mean, I don't see it happening. I'll give you the 4 on realistic, but as far as would be good, I think he'd be pretty good. Tyrod, nobody in Buffalo seems to like Tyrod, but all he does is put up pretty good numbers and have them in position to win.
Well, nobody accused him of being able to identify good football players in Buffalo.
That's true.
Haven't been in the playoffs since 99 for a reason.
I think Tyrod would give the Skins the same sort of chance at a good season as Colt, or maybe a little bit better than Colt.
Yeah.
Tyrod's put enough out there to show. I think he's a 7, 7.5.
Yeah.
Which
another,
also might be their win total. But
right. Yeah, that's true. I'd go 7.
And the scale is Kirk is a 10, right? Or is like Tom Brady a 10?
No, Tom Brady's a 10.
Well, then we might have to scale.
So Kirk's an 8.
Okay, Kirk's an 8. All right, that's fair. All right, who's next on the list?
Andy Dalton, former the guy that Jay Gruden pushed to draft what was that, 2011, when he first came on with the Bengals as their offensive coordinator. They went to the playoffs together 3 years in a row. Now, they didn't win a game there, but so that's certainly something to consider.
They didn't win a playoff game.
Good chance. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Certainly a pretty good chance he'll be a free agent. He's due some money. They can move on from him with about a 2. They owe him no more money. They would not have to write him a check
right.
to leave, but they would have about a $2.5 million dead cap hit.
Yeah, see, the only reason I think they get rid of him is if they go with A.J. McCarron, but there's some question on if McCarron's a free agent, right? There's like a
yes.
grievance over if he's restricted or unrestricted. Cincinnati is such a poorly run organization that I think Dalton stays there. So for me, the realistic level on this one's low. It's a 2.
I'll go with a 5.
Ooh, all right. And how good do you think he could be?
I think he could be a 6.
So
maybe a 7.
Do we both have him lower than Colt and Tyrod on the good side?
I didn't know we were supposed to keep track of these.
Well, you had Tyrod at 7.
We both right.
I think for me, Dalton is a worse option than Colt or Tyrod.
I think he's a better option than Colt, worse than Tyrod.
All right. Let me set the scene for everybody real quick. Usually we do this earlier. We are in the Redskins media room. This is a working area. It's too cold to be outside. So if you hear some background noise, that's because there are other folks setting up various photo shoots and everything. Everybody's trying hard to be quiet. So bear with us. No big deal. You guys are all doing well, too. So don't worry about that. All right. Who's next on the list?
Case Keenum.
This
current
one's interesting.
Vikings quarterback.
Because he had been largely
former
bad.
Rams.
He's a journeyman.
Texan.
Journeyman with a bad record. All of a sudden, he's having a great year for the Vikings right now. They have a great defense. They have good tools on offense. Steph Diggs, Adam Thielen. To me, Keenum 2017 is a little bit like Kirk 2015 in that nobody really knows what to make of him.
Right. But, yeah, and he's in a system with a good running game, a good defense.
Right.
And so how many chances do you have to take?
So before we get to how realistic it is, let's keep in mind the Vikings may well want to keep him. You know, the Vikings will have some options. If the Vikings go on a deep run, I don't know that you just move on from that quarterback.
Right.
Right.
But do you move on? I don't know. Yeah, they'd have to move on from somebody.
Right. They got Bridgewater and Bradford.
Bradford's the next guy on our list. Bridgewater, we didn't put down. We're kind of assuming the Vikings will keep him, but
right.
can they keep both of them?
Right.
All three unrestricted free agents.
All right, so you tell me realistically Case Keenum to the Redskins.
I won't go a zero, but I'll go a one. I don't think the Vikings are going to let him go.
Yeah, I got it at less than two.
Okay.
Like 1.5.
So there's no point. I mean, and you know what? I think that's probably a good thing. I'd put his probable effectiveness at 4 or 5.
I'd put it higher. He seems to be legit this year, but not much higher. So we also don't think it's going to happen. So
right.
Let's
so
move
no
on
point
to the guy you like on this list.
Is Sam Bradford.
Which is funny because you must have been digging into numbers over the last week because you've been very dismissive of Bradford in past conversations.
No, I don't. I mean, I've always liked Bradford. I liked Bradford when he came out. Mike Shanahan was desperate to get Sam Bradford on the team. They had the number 4 pick. Rams had the number 1, but the Rams were not giving it up.
Well, as you like to say, there's a guy with a clear eye for quarterback talent.
Well, right. Well, I don't know. He got Cutler. Cutler was pretty good for a while. He had an eye there. But you're right. But I mean, Bradford has been, when healthy, that's the key.
Pretty good.
When healthy, pretty good. He stayed
good
healthy last year.
Right.
Was pretty good. So
how realistic?
Yeah, I think how realistic. I'll give it a 4, maybe a 5.
I'll say 3. I just don't see it happening.
Well, what do you think? You don't think the Redskins will want him or that he won't be free?
I think
he'll definitely be free.
I think he'll definitely be free. I don't see him coming here. Maybe I'll go, would you say, maybe I'll go like 4.5. I'll go 4.5.
Okay. All right.
How good do you think he could be?
6.
I think if I put Tyrod at 7, I'll put Bradford at 7, but the durability questions are a real problem.
Right. They definitely are.
All right. Next on the list, I think we go to the rookies.
We go to the rookies.
And we can speed the rookies a little bit just because it's so wide open. Well, realistically, here, Darnold and Rosen are not on our list because they're going to go top 5 and the Redskins aren't going to have a top 5 pick. Right. And I'm telling you now, the Redskins aren't going to trade up for one of those two quarterbacks.
Correct.
So, realistically, any of these guys could probably happen.
Right. Okay. We'll go Lamar Jackson, last year's Heisman Trophy winner out of Louisville.
Lamar Jackson is good, man. I don't know that in year one as a rookie he can get them to an 8 of Kirk Cousins, but I think Lamar Jackson is going to be a good NFL quarterback. You saw what Deshaun Watson did. You see what Carson Wentz is doing. I mean, there is space in the game for athletic quarterbacks now.
I think it's going to be the
athletic
way to
quarterbacks
go.
With a
that's,
monster
that's
arm.
What's coming out of college, you know.
Right.
I mean, they've been trying for years to kind of push these guys, the guys that are coming out of spread offenses, push them into pocket passing, and you can do that to an extent, but eventually you just got to let them use their talents.
You need to be creative with these quarterbacks and accentuate their positives. I got Lamar Jackson at like a 7.5, man. I think he has a lot of potential. I like Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Yeah, I'd go about the same.
Okay.
7 or 8. Chances he'll come, he'll be there, and they'll take him?
I think he'll be there, and I think it's a possibility.
Yeah. Hard to put a number to it, though.
Right. That's such a crap. Maybe we do that in April as the draft gets closer.
Yes. Okay. Going to the current.
Here's what I'll tell you. Colt for 2018 and Lamar Jackson on the roster, I think is a pretty good plan for the Redskins going forward.
Yeah, I could go with that. Okay. Baker Mayfield. Oklahoma current Heisman Trophy winner. A little bit short. Put up monster numbers.
Has been great all season.
Yes. A little bit of trouble.
He's got a little Johnny football to him.
Hey, you know what? To an extent, that's fine with me. I think a quarterback having a bit of an edge.
Here's what I'll say. The stuff on the field, planting the flag at Ohio State. What did he do? He grabbed his crotch at Kansas. Whatever. I mean, I don't care about that. Right. Or I don't care a lot about it anyway. Getting arrested, that's different.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's one thing to be immature while you're playing, and you're just a trash talker, you know? That's one thing. But getting arrested and, that's an entirely different situation.
Yeah. You have to keep an eye on that. You have to investigate that pretty carefully before you pull the trigger
and
on a draft pick.
Question, whenever you see young men that tend to kind of push the rules. If you're pushing the rules before you have millions of dollars, what's going to happen when you have millions of dollars? And plenty of guys get past that and move on.
Yep.
But To me, that leaves me with Baker at more in the 6 level.
I'd go 5.
Okay, yeah.
I think there will be cautious. Okay, last one. Josh Allen, quarterback out of Wyoming, who sort of disappointed this year.
Disappointed.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, was it a fluke? You know, is this a guy you can pick up and
He's going to be a combine warrior. People are going to be all over him. Quarterbacks get overdrafted anyway. Yeah. By March, everybody's going to love that kid.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't know. And I don't know enough. I know that he had 3 games where he didn't have 100 yards passing and against Hawaii. You know what I mean? It's not you're not playing Alabama. Big size, big arm. That's a guy, if you draft, you got to hope he can develop.
Yeah, and so do you spend a first-round pick on him?
To me, that's my lowest of the 3. I would get him down at 3.5.
Yeah, I'd go down maybe even a little lower, too. But he could. You know, if he comes through in that combine.
Yeah, man, you never know.
Sure, he proves healthy.
You never know.
You know, the school out. Are they in the same conference as South Dakota State?
Well, no, because Wyoming's D1 and South Dakota State is
D.
FCS.
Yes.
Is, you know, what used to be called 1AA, whatever the hell. Right. I think FCS is what it's called now.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, Wyoming's playing Utah State and teams like that.
Right.
I don't know what conference. Mountain West, perhaps?
Mountain West.
I think Mountain West doesn't exist anymore. I don't know. Maybe
no,
they play Boise. So they're playing Boise.
I follow Mountain West on Twitter.
So they're playing Boise and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's some reasonable competition there. All right. That's our very quick quarterback grades. You're going to hear and see a lot of that from us over the next couple months. Tandler, quickly, because we have an awesome Nick Sundberg interview to get to where he talks about his candidacy for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. Prediction for Sunday.
Prediction of Sunday, I don't think the Redskins are going to win.
Did you have them winning against Arizona?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think they'd beat the Cardinals. I think they win this week.
I think the defense is – I don't know. Denver's defense is scary.
Yeah, but their last 2 games have been the Colts and the –
But the Reds, I know, but they're still first in the league.
Von Miller
the
with no Trent Williams is scary.
You know, are the Redskins going to beat him on the ground?
I don't know.
No. Aqib Talib, you know, those cornerbacks. I mean, I just don't see the Redskins scoring enough.
I think it's got to look like last week to get a win, and you're talking 20-17, something like that.
Right.
I think this is the Kabree Bibbs game, man. I think Bibbs is kind of good, and I think he's going to get some opportunities.
Okay. That's your.
I got the Skins sleeper. Winning some dumb number, 22-18.
There you go. And I'll have them losing. 17-13.
Bang. All right, Nick Sundberg's up next. Thanks for listening, guys.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, Redskins long snapper Nick Sundberg, great dude, and you're really contributing to the D.C. area with your Loads of Love program. You want to talk a little football first? You want to talk Loads of Love first?
You call it.
No, man, you're the guest. You're in charge.
Loads of Love.
Okay. Give me the 140 character version. You're a very active Twitter user. You can explain this thing with some brevity.
Well, don't you have more characters on Twitter now? Can I give you like the 2 whatever it is?
280? Sure.
280. All right.
You, Nick Sundberg, can go 280.
I appreciate that. Basically, Loads of Love is a program that myself and the Redskins Charitable Foundation kind of co-opted together. I had an idea and some money. They had connections and resources. And basically what we did is we reached out to PG County and asked them for, you know, a list of schools. And over the course of a year, we narrowed it down to 3 elementary schools in PG. And what we did is we installed washers and dryers and went to basically their administration, the administration of each school, and said, give us a list of your most at-risk kids, basically the kids with the most unexcused absences. And we put them in this program where every day they can show up, bring a load of dirty laundry in at some point during the day, a teacher on their off period, somebody from the PTA volunteers to come in, or a combo of both, wash and fold the clothes. And at the end of the day, the kids pick them up, freshly washed and folded.
And you got this idea because there are studies that show what that does for a kid's psyche, right? I mean,
yeah.
How important it is. Something so simple as clean clothes. Not everybody has that, and what it does for these kids.
Right. Well, so, yeah, I mean, the backstory is my wife came across an article on social media and just handed it to me. It was like, you need to see this.
She's the brains behind the operation.
She's the brains behind everything. She's an attorney, and, you know, she's... She went to Berkeley on a full academic, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's legit.
She's a breadwinner, not me. but she handed me this article, and I, you know, basically they did this same thing in three schools in L.A. and three schools in Missouri, and they had a 96% increase in attendance and 89% increase in grades for the kids in the program.
96% increase? So if a kid was missing 10 days a year, whatever, now they're missing one day a year? My math roughly right?
Yeah, but I think it's more like the kid was missing 100 days a year, and
wow.
Now they're missing 4.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And that's great. And,
yeah.
And the correspondence with the increased grades makes total sense.
Well, and, yeah, well, yeah,
and just going grades, to school more
participation,
helps you.
Self-esteem, all that sort of stuff. And we learned a ton throughout this entire process, just kind of about – how, you know, schools work in the process of trying to give things away and how hard it is.
Yeah, I mean, just the bureaucracy involved.
There's so much red tape
yeah.
And, you know, I's to dot and T's to cross and all that stuff. But
and how important was Jane Rogers and, like, the Skins
oh my goodness.
Foundation on that side?
Jane, Allie, when she was still here, she's with the Broncos now. Emily, Calvin. Like, Calvin was driving out to Maryland multiple times a week to vet these schools and see what they had, what they didn't have for months. Like, he was instrumental in finding the right schools and making sure that everything was in the right place and talking to the right people. And, like, without him, this wouldn't be where it is today.
How'd you pick the schools? Why'd you pick PG County? Is it because the stadium's there? Or is that you can identify at-risk areas? Or?
In part because the stadium is there. PG County has 288 schools in their district, and I didn't know that going in.
Yeah.
So it was a big pool to choose from,
yeah,
number
sure.
one.
There's a lot of people there.
They were just the first district that we reached out to, and surprisingly enough, their response was, and tell me if you've ever heard this before, but, oh, my God, yes, washers and dryers are the number one thing that we ask for that we don't get.
Wow.
I was shocked. I would never
think a school asked. Maybe
never.
High schools because of uniforms and stuff for sports. But
I would have never, ever thought – I had never, ever thought before we started this entire process that that was even something that schools asked for. So, you know, if there's a school in your area, reach out. If you've got an old one or you're about to buy some new
ones.
Dude,
I wouldn't have even thought about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because what do people usually do with their old ones? They just, you know, they're generally not broken. Usually just upgrade.
Right.
Yeah, they might be a little older.
But if somebody has nothing.
Correct.
Right. So do that, listeners. I mean, hell, it's Christmas. Some of you are probably buying new ones for Christmas.
Well, I hope you're not buying your wife appliances because that's a big no-no.
Is it?
Nothing that plugs in.
So I shouldn't have gotten my wife a toaster?
Correct.
Damn.
Even though it has the 4-slot for bagels. Nope.
seriously, that's a great idea. If it's that simple to donate and it makes this much of a difference, I mean, there's empirical data that shows the difference you're making. All right, and let's talk a little. You've gotten this program's working, and you're getting recognized for it, and you've been nominated as the Redskins. Correct me if I'm wrong with any of this. You're the Redskins nominee for the NFL Walter Payton of the Man of the Year Award, correct?
Correct. That is a correct statement.
And does every team in the NFL nominate somebody?
All 32 teams nominate one player. And basically, there's some sort of voting process where it gets narrowed down to three.
A lot of it's on Twitter, right?
I honestly, I'm not really sure.
I've been retweeting stuff for you.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yeah,
you've been doing a great job. So there's a big campaign to retweet hashtag WPMOY something Sundberg.
Right. I've seen it.
you know, whoever, whichever player has the most retweets with that hashtag gets an extra $25,000 to a charity of their choice. Yes.
And you are a guy that is from Arizona, has lived in California, you're well traveled. Is this something you think can scale?
Yeah, so I think that's what drew me to the program initially, is that this isn't a region specific program. This is now in Maryland, the reason for the issue might be different than somewhere else, but the issue itself is still a nationwide issue. Like, for example, there's a ton of government housing in D.C. and Maryland, and that might be something that's causing something like, you know, issues like this. But in the Central Valley of California, there's a ton of migrant farm workers that live in labor camps, basically, and just kind of move around from place to place, and so they're not their home lives aren't exactly stable. The problem is the same. The issue is different. So, regardless of location or whatever, there's still a need. And I think that was something that really drew this to me, is that it's not something that can only help in this area. If somebody in
regional,
correct.
All.
If somebody in Oregon hears about this program through the Walter Payton stuff
or this podcast,
absolutely. I mean, I know you got some reach.
So we got some reach, too.
That's what I'm saying. If somebody in Oregon hears about this and says, man, that's crazy, I'd never thought about that, and they reach out to a high school in the area, yes, go ahead and do it.
Because to me, one thing that's so remarkable is how efficient and relatively simple it is. And it's the simplicity of it. Now, obviously, there's a ton of red tape, a ton of bureaucracy, but it's a washer and dryer, man. Like, you could put that in a school in Texas. You can put that in a school in Chicago.
Right. There was a lot more that went into it than we originally planned. I thought, hey, this is such an easy fix. It's not easy. Not as easy as it sounds. I mean, plumbing, electric, HVAC. There's a lot more that goes into it than we originally thought. But, most schools have parents of kids who do those things, or, you know, could find people in the area that would be willing to help out. Yes,
too,
absolutely.
Right.
So just starting the process. I mean, we've created a blueprint here where basically we figured out the easiest way to implement the program itself. Basically how to find the kids, how to get the teachers and PTA involved, because that's the most important part.
You need somebody to do the laundry.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And actually at all three schools, we have a different process for each one. So at one school, it's only PTA members. At one school, it's only teachers. At the other school, it's a combination of both. So we're really interested to see what kind of numbers we get, because the schools themselves are reporting back to us every so often, you know, over the course of a year, over a five-year period, that sort of thing, so that we can go back to PG County and to D.C. and to Fairfax and to Loudoun County and say, look, here's what we did. Here are the numbers. And even if it's not 96%, if it's 20%, that's a huge number.
Right.
Like, if we get one-fifth of the data that this other study got, that's awesome. We'd be absolutely pumped. Like,
there's no downside. If you get one more kid to school one more day,
correct,
that's
then it
good.
Was a huge success. Absolutely.
Right, right.
And the way I thought about it, like, before we were actually started this pilot program, was like, hey, listen, if one kid ends up graduating high school that wouldn't have, like, the whole thing was absolutely worth it.
Well, and beyond the value of that kid graduating, there's, like, societal benefits. One more person that's educated is better for the whole world.
Well, and kids are actually in – well, and it's better for the schools, too.
Right.
Like, for a lot of these schools, like – and I'm speaking from a not very educated stance about this, but don't schools get grant money for however many kids are in their seats and that sort of stuff? You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Like, the more kids that are in their seats on a daily basis, is the better the money they get from the state. Like, so it's positive for the schools, better for kids showing up, kids are getting better grades, that sort of thing. I there literally isn't a downside.
All right, vote for Nick as Walter Payton Man of the Year. It's all over Twitter. You can find it.
At Nick Sundberg, if you don't follow me already.
There
SUNDBERG.
At Nick Sundberg. He'll tell you how to vote. And go vote. It's funny sitting here. Nick and I are sitting on the couches at Redskin Park. He was kind of lounging when we started, and as you talked about this program, you started sitting up, getting more animated, getting more excited.
Yeah,
you're now,
dude, I get all
toward
juiced.
The edge of your seat talking about this thing, and usually the only time I see you get animated and excited is when you're insulting me or making fun of me in some capacity. So it's nice to see
Jones in a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Let's do three football questions. We ask Jay Gruden this all the time for the last few weeks. How do you stay motivated, stay dialed in when you know the postseason's out of the equation?
So it doesn't really change my job at all. You know, we're still going to punt a few times a game. We're still going to score touchdowns and kick field goals. And so I still have to be – like my job still requires 100% focus. So you can't think about any of that stuff. Like, you still have to prepare every game like it's week one or week 20, you know. For specialists, that's a non-factor.
Does getting to 8-8 matter to you?
Yeah, I heard something the other day that the last time the Redskins had three non-losing seasons in a row was like the first Joe Gibbs era.
Well, so there's two things. The last time they had three non-losing seasons in a row was 99, 2000, 2001, but that was three different coaches. The last coach to do that 3 years in a row was Joe Gibbs.
On his first?
The first go-round. Like early 90s.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be
so
huge.
So it'd be something big for Jay.
That'd be huge for us.
And I asked Jay about it, and he totally dismissed it.
Of course, right. But because – and I get his stance on that. But, you know, for us, where I've been here since 2010, like, you want to see growth, right? And if we can accomplish something this year that we haven't done since the early 90s, like, that's big time.
Yeah. And then this is the last one. And I'm not asking you to at all comment on the Kirk situation. He's your teammate. He's probably a friend. It's already starting now, and we're 2 weeks out from it officially starting. Hell, not even 2 weeks. 9 days or something from the 2018 offseason starting, and again,
that's crazy.
Kirkapalooza starting around here. How tiring is that for you as a player to hear about franchise tags and transition tags and long-term deal, all that stuff that accompanies the controversy? Might not be the right word, but the intrigue with Kirk Cousins and if he returns to Washington.
I don't necessarily want to say it's tiring. I think it's interesting. Because it's very rare that you see a guy that has leverage. It's usually the other way around, where, you know, we're begging for contracts, not the other way around. So I'm really interested to see how it plays out. I'm interested to see kind of how the team handles the situation, and you know, what kind of what kind of contract they figure out, whoever it may be. Because it's interesting stuff, just as a fan of the NFL, to see how it
and an informed guy that knows
The
inner working.
Yeah, like I'm on my third contract here now. I've been cut a bunch of times before I got here, but so I know, like, you're as a player, you generally don't ever have any leverage. Even, you know, after my third season here, there was a ton of knocks. Well, I only played 9 games that year because I had broken my arm, so I wasn't sure what kind of, you know, deal they were going to offer and that sort of stuff. And you never feel like you have the upper hand as a player. So I'm really interested to see how this affects players, the thought process of players moving forward and dealing with contracts, and you know, see if more players take a Kirk-like approach.
But it's clear that Kirk does have the leverage.
I mean, you would have to say yes,
yeah,
right?
I would, certainly.
Yeah.
Dude, tell everybody your Twitter handle again so they can
– at Nick Sundberg, NickSundberg.
And should we thank Tish Carmona for – I don't know if she is, like, watching to make sure I don't say anything stupid, but you've done a heck of a job, Tish.
Tish is wonderful. She's just wonderful. A peach. She puts together all sorts of stuff for Loads of Love. She does a phenomenal job.
She does a great job for Redskins PR. Thank you very much, Nick.
Hey, thank you, JP, and we're out.